When the news gets complicated, you need better questions.
It's just a fact that Tony Fauci, not the guy I'm talking with, but Tony Fauci, the person in people's mind, is now an impediment to public health because people won't listen to you.
You know, with all due respect, I just completely disagree with that premise because there are an awful lot of people who do listen, who do the right thing from a public health standpoint.
Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3. Informative.
Local.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The premise of this is a camping and public speaking ordinance, and I want to speak to that. This ordinance is about maintaining safe and clean public areas, whether it be sidewalks, parks. It creates a local environment where we have an enforcement action as our police and as our city to help make sure that people are safe and secure.
This is Milton Police Chief Jen Frank talking to the City Council about the need for them to figure out, develop, pass, put in place some kind of an ordinance so that Milton can basically be in compliance with state law and allow her to be able to use the law to do what the state requires, which is that, you know, if somebody is camping in an area that is inhibiting or affecting a business or I think even a homeowner, if I remember the law, it's been a little while since I read it, but I know for businesses, if, you know, basically if they feel like a municipality is not doing its job to keep their business free from the effects of somebody who's camping on their property or near their property or impairing their business, they can basically sue the municipality. So it is the police's job to clean the homeless person if they are homeless. It's not really about homelessness, it's about camping. But, you know, typically that's who it is. Basically off of the sidewalk, for example. Otherwise, they can take action against the municipality. You're not allowed to let people camp in your domain. And she says, we don't really have the ordinance we need to have to basically do this and give us the enforcement power we need.
State law actually requires action. In 2024, Governor DeSantis in the state of Florida actually created a process that cities could be held accountable by business owners, by residents, and people in the area for not addressing certain issues. And one of those issues in particular was homelessness and sleeping on public property. However, we actually do not have an enforcement mechanism for that. And what does that mean? That means that an individual could set up a tent or a camp on a public sidewalk, in the area of a park, outside of one of our businesses, and choose to live there, bring a lot of their property there. That also has the potential of bringing rats, other rodents, creating a blockage so that we're not able to use the property or the area for what it's intentionally designed for.
So we're not trying to tell you to come here. We do not want you here. We do not want these problems here, but we don't yet have the law in place that would allow us to solve this problem like many of our other neighboring counties and municipalities already have.
I want to be clear. We recognize that this is a very difficult spot to try to navigate. As we try to work through this process, we intend to come at it with compassion and understanding that homelessness is a very difficult point in many people's lives. But we have to also balance that with the residents and with the homeowners and the business individuals in our community.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I really like about Chief Frank, and this is true of a lot of our law enforcement. It's not, this is a problem, we need to get rid of these people. This is a problem we need to enforce. This is a problem, let's, you know, every problem is a nail needing a hammer because I was built in the design of a hammer. But, you know, she, like many of our other law enforcement, are very compassion-oriented. And so the idea of, you know, understanding situations, treating people with dignity and respect is a key part of how she thinks about any of this. So what does she want passed?
What this ordinance would specifically state is that as state statute mandates, it's illegal to camp in a public area. It would allow us to address that. We would start by making sure that as officers, as our code enforcement, as our city employees, that we'd start with some compassion and some warning, some understanding what resources are available to help redirect you to those locations. After those warnings, we would move to a secondary element, which would say, you need to go ahead and pack up and you need to leave. This is not a place that you can set up for home and set up for encampment. And then if individuals chose to continue to ignore the resources available, to ignore their relocation efforts, to ignore the warning that you need to find some other spot to be, then an enforcement action would take place.
So inform, warn, enforce, right?
The goal of this is hopefully that we would never have to utilize an enforcement element. But there is a tricky spot as an officer. We have members of our community calling us and saying, hey, I'm having to step over somebody in order to get into my business. What can we do about it? On private property, they have the option of a trespass.
And if they're on private property, of course, you can trespass them off your property. But if they're on the sidewalk outside of your private property, you cannot, because that's a public area. And what she's saying is we just don't have the mandate legally to do not only what people want us to be able to do, but also what the state requires us to be able to do in order to be shielded from, you know, the suit that can basically be brought by a private business owner under this, or as she said, a homeowner.
We put some exemptions in here, you'll notice. We're not looking to restrict on some private property elements. We understand that in the event of an emergency or a hurricane and someone's house perhaps has some issues for livable elements, we've provided some provisions in there for that. We recognize there are some unique moments. But we do, as a city, have to understand that there are times where we have to tell people, this cannot be your home.
Right. Which, again, it's all very straightforward. And then she gave some kind of unusual examples, or at least one.
We have, as police officers, responded to cemeteries where folks have put up tents over grave sites and had to ask individuals to leave. They have brought 4, 5, 6 suitcases with them. They bring large amounts of food, tents, and some other elements.
Setting up camp on a grave site in a grave, that's, I mean, I've heard a lot of things. You know, I have, and listen, I know people who do not have a place to stay are often quite desperate and looking for, where is that place? Well, you typically, right, the most common one, you all know this, is in the woods, right? Close to, you know, neighborhood, or maybe close to an intersection that you're going to panhandle at. But in the woods is one of the most common places. That's because it's out of sight. It's relatively safe. There's some shielding from the weather, maybe not great shielding from the weather, but, you know, and it's a place where you can kind of put things and nobody's going to go there because, you know, sort of these uninhabited, unused wooded areas are relatively secure, all things considered. So that's what you hear. But grave sites I had not heard before, so that's interesting.
Again, I want to be very clear. This is to help make sure that these shared spaces remain safe, but also available to all. We've had incidents where folks have gone to utilize the gazebo during the day, but it's not available because someone has set out a sleeping bag and all of their property across all of the different the seating options. It's difficult to currently remove someone from that property based on the lack of an ordinance.
Right, and this is actually a very common situation, is somebody is camping in a park or in a park-like facility like the gazebo. And, you know, I think I used to play disc golf a little bit more than I do today. We go to Hitsman, and there's always somebody, or there used to always be somebody at the, you know, the park there, or at a park bench, or near the restrooms, all of that kind of stuff, which is, again, understandable. It's sort of out of view, not that much out of view, but it's relatively safe, but it's also close to some kind of an amenity that they can use.
There are some opportunities. We have worked with private business owners and private property owners to offer that they can have a standing trespass that would allow law enforcement, in the event they find individuals there and they do not want them there, to go ahead and make a standing trespass to relocate those individuals.
And that's one of those, like, you can't assume that a private business owner or private landowner wants you to trespass somebody off their property, but if they tell you, yeah, if you see somebody, go ahead. That's what she's talking about, is a default setting, essentially, that people observed on their property can be removed as if the owner had gotten them or given them explicit trespass permission.
Some of the areas that you're speaking of in particular, it's unique because there's county ownership, there's private property ownership, and there's some city ownership. And so we are working with them together. One of those areas in particular is underneath the bridge over by Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. County owns one side, city owns the other side. We were poised to move some folks from that direction, but we didn't want to just put them onto the county side because that's not going to solve the problem, right? We need to make sure that these folks have resources, they have a proper place to go. How do we combine together? So we are already in conversation with the county regarding getting trespasses for those locations and finding the appropriate place that individuals can receive resources that are more reasonable for a living accommodation than what they're getting.
And you'll recall I had asked Senator Sheriff Bob Johnson about this on Monday, and it wasn't a negotiation that he had been in yet, but she says they were talking with the county. So, you know, working with them first, I assume, on, you know, some kind of a mutual enforcement provision so that if they don't just move them 10 feet, they can actually, you know, deal with them anywhere in that vicinity. And maybe that would apply at some radius outside of the city or at some zone, or perhaps it would apply countywide. I don't know. You know, we'll see what the final form is.
Be aware that Pensacola has already issued this almost identical ordinance with a few minor changes just because they're a larger organization, Okaloosa, Escambia County. And so as these other groups are starting to make those transitions and moves, if we have an open door and do not have a similar ordinance, there is a potential risk that if folks are shifted from one location to another and we do not have some form of protection for the city, we could become a local area that folks come to because there aren't the same restrictions here. So just be aware those other areas have already passed this legislation.
So just another example, and you know, you don't want your one place to be the gap in enforcement in a two or three county area that people discover, oh, hey, guess what? We can go to Milton and camp and nobody can stop us. Well, not yet, you know, but the Milton City Council. Well, I would say normally I would assume they're going to do the smart thing. they often do, and I would think on this they will, but, you know, time will come to have an actual conversation. We'll find out what they want to do. So that's Chief Jen Frank, Milton Police Department, and she's doing a great job. About a year, I want to say a year, year and a half on the job, I think, because if memory serves, and this is on memory, you know, Ed Spears has been there for 2 years, and I think he's the one who hired her, so less than 2 years, so I believe that's a year and a half for her. Anyway, 520, she's really genuinely doing a great job. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You've still got it, but your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia and RSV. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and can help protect you from getting really sick. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. See more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey there, homebuyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty.
Your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
This is the story of the one. The one who keeps multiple buildings running smoothly day after day. Plumbing that flows, HVAC that hums, cleaning supplies that keep surfaces sparkling. That's why she counts on Grainger. With easy reordering online and 24/7 support, Grainger helps her keep the products she needs on hand, so shelves stay stocked and buildings stay ready. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Got a question about business, health, or money?
Chances are Meg's already talking to the expert.
Pet Talk, Pet's Cool Expert Panel, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Anyone who's anyone knows who you are.
Yeah, we know who you are.
Who is she?
I'm Groot.
Yeah, you said that.
Good morning, 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, we now know the name of the pilot and the age of the pilot who successfully landed that plane over on I-10 the other day that David Muir did not over-embellish. So disappointed. I went back home. I pulled out of my deleted folder the ABC World News Tonight file and watched it because somebody had sent me the link yesterday. The version of it I had played on the air was not a great version. And I played it, and I'm like, no. David Muir, you just always disappoint me. You embellish and exaggerate when you don't need to, and then when I was kind of hoping you would, you straight face it. And you move right, without any pause, you just move into writing another terrifying story out of Yellowstone Park. So But no, we've learned who it is. Did you see this, BJ?
I did. Well, I know that she's 21.
A 21-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and she's got 1,300 hours at 21.
And teaching a student.
And teaching a student. Yeah, pretty impressive. So Emily Shelton, and the student was on her first ever lesson. Well, I mean, it's all cake from here. Yeah. You've seen basically the terrible thing that can happen, and, you know, it was all taken care of. So, man, she's got 1,300 hours total flight time. This is WAR reporting. Reported the smell of burning oil in the cockpit led to the emergency landing. Yeah, and, you know, but, oh, you know, this is actually kind of interesting. The other day, and I forgot to mention this yesterday, there was, you know how... I don't remember having this problem when I was younger, but, you know, I'm at an age where sometimes this happens. I knew there was something else that I had wanted to tell you yesterday about this story, and it just kept eluding me. And then I remembered after the show was over. Have you ever, these are urban legends or myths or things that people believe about the interstate system, some of which might be true, some of which might not be true. One of the most persistent beliefs about the interstate system, and I had believed this too, is that it was specifically designed as a safety net for planes to land on. Have you ever heard that, PJ?
I've never heard that.
I had heard that based on I had believed that my whole life, that, you know, when Eisenhower developed the interstate system, he developed it in part with the idea that at least it would be a place where planes, especially civilian aircraft, could land safely.
I read his biography. I didn't catch that.
Yeah. Not true. It's just not true. That's a widespread myth on the internet, and this is actually according to the federal government. According to Highway Safety? I'm forgetting which administration I pulled this from. But yeah, off of the government website, it had a list of myths about the highway system, and that was one of them. That the straightness is 5 miles, and that the width and the tree clearing and all that kind of stuff. Another one, you may or may not have heard this, is that President Eisenhower actually came up with the idea for the interstate system.
Mm-hmm.
Not true.
Oh.
Yeah, see?
That just blew my mind.
Yeah, like, I can't tell you how many times I have said that in my life. The interstate system was first described in a Bureau of Public Roads report to Congress called Toll Roads and Free Roads, published in, you want to take the year? You want to guess the year?
If it wasn't Eisenhower, I'm going to say Coolidge.
Okay, but give me a year.
1927.
Oh, you overshot. 1939.
Okay.
So before World War II was the original report on this. It was authorized for designation of the Federal Aid Highway Act of 1944. Initial designation 47, completed in 55, 40,000 mile limitation imposed by the act. Eisenhower didn't conceive of it, but his support led to the enactment of the Federal Aid Highway Act of 1956, which established program and funding for it and building it. So he was not immaterial, but he did not, is not like his brainchild, which I always had thought. Another one that I was really frustrated reading this because it just was all the things I had always believed. Now, the one was, what's the purpose of the interstate system? What's the basic reason we have it?
Probably to get people there faster and safer.
Good. That's actually correct. I had always been told that it was a military defense purpose. I'd always heard that it was like, hey, you need a lot of roads in case we're ever invaded. You can get the tanks and the supplies here and there. It's for basically it's a national defense project. Also will benefit cars, trucks and like, nope, just primarily for commerce. Like you say, get people there safer. There was this one I had not heard. I had not heard that it was based on the need to evacuate people in case of a nuclear attack. People come up with all kinds. I had not heard that one particularly. That's also not true. That was not the reason. And here's the last one. Why do we have roads? Like, it's not here. It's a spur. You know, I-110 is a spur. Mm-hmm. But in most major metropolitan areas, you have beltways around the outside. And sometimes you have two. But like, you know, in Atlanta, in St. Louis, in Los Angeles, you know, most major cities that are big enough have a, you know, and that you can basically keep driving around in a circle driving around the city.
Mm-hmm.
Beltways are designed why?
To reduce congestion in the cities.
Damn, PJ, you're so straightforward. You know everything. It's boring. You need to make up a bad answer. People believe that beltways are often built so you can bypass the downtown. Like, go around, idiot, because it's always congestion. Nope, just to get you there safer. So good job, PJ. I think you went 100%, except for the Eisenhower one.
Right.
So
which you were wrong, too.
So. I was like, I was wrong on 7 of 8, you know, so, which is good, because now I cannot say dumb things anymore, which is a preferable condition to be. And I always say this, and I really believe it. I would always rather find out I'm wrong today so I can be less wrong tomorrow. That's the only way to learn. You know, if you're always right and we're always right, then, boy, you're stuck. I would always rather find the things. But of course, some people, and it's very normal, are extraordinarily reluctant to find, admit, acknowledge, embrace correction to whatever it is that they have either long or at all believed. They're very defensive about being corrected. The best way to be smarter is to welcome correction because, hey, you know, how else are you going to fix it? 437-1620. If you have a business, you have employees, you have health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources, payroll, all of the big important stuff that you do not love as a business owner. I mean, it's expensive, but you do not love it because it's red tape and it's difficult to figure out. Well, Torgerson Consulting, they're great at this. They like providing it. They're good at it. We've been working with them for 5 years here at News Radio in Cat Country. They've been in business locally for 25 years. No obligation to have them look over what you're doing and help you figure out if you're doing it the best or cheaper or better, whatever. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. It's too close to call in the Democratic Senate primary race in Michigan.
Far-left candidate Abdul El-Sayed is leading establishment-backed Haley Stevens by a little more than a percentage point.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera in the Missouri primary. Progressive former Congresswoman Cori Bush trounced by incumbent Democrat Congressman Wesley Bell. President Trump says,
I get a little solace from, as they say, only consequential presidents. And I am definitely consequential.
Speaking of Fox's Trace Gallagher during an exclusive interview about the arrest of an armed man at his California golf course just days ahead of an RNC fundraiser. The president in Nevada, well, he will point out the bright spots in the U.S. economy while in the war with Iran, the president indicated that a deal with Iran could happen as early as today. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 78 degrees with clear skies. We'll get a look at our forecast coming up in just a couple of minutes. Four juveniles were injured overnight after a single gunshot ricocheted at the Pensacola Village Apartments. Police say that officers first responded to Sacred Heart Hospital about 11:30 last night for a juvenile with a gunshot wound, then learned that three others had also been hit by fragments of that same bullet while standing nearby. All of the injuries were described as being minor and no arrests have been made. Police do say more information will be released as it becomes available. A 22-year-old registered sex offender living in Pensacola is facing 20 new charges tied to child exploitation. FDLE says Sebastian Belensky was already arrested this year on a probation violation after cocaine was found in his home. Investigators say further digging revealed he used unreported Snapchat accounts to solicit minors and send explicit content. Belensky remains in the Holmes County Jail, where his original probation sentence originated. A judge in Tallahassee says the ballot language for Florida's property tax amendment is misleading and will have to be rewritten before November. Judge David Frank ruled that the title reads more like a political slogan than neutral language and ordered Attorney General James Uthmeyer to submit a revised version within 10 days. The amendment itself will remain on the ballot. It would raise the homestead exemption to $250,000 by 2028. The Florida Sheriff's Association has weighed in on the property tax constitutional amendment heading to the ballot. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons says the organization's concerns go beyond the money, and it's more about who controls it.
Our fear, I guess, would be potential allows Tallahassee to control your local budgets. It's this chipping away at home rule is something that we feel very strongly about as sheriffs, that the taxpayers in Escambia County should be able to say where the tax dollars that they're paying goes in which budget. How much should go to the sheriff's office? How much should go to the fire department? How much should go to the ambulance service? I'm not a fan of property tax. I feel like the legislature should have done more, quite frankly. They should have eliminated all property tax.
Simmons says the Sheriff's Association isn't telling anybody how to vote. The statement they made is purely educational. Simmons was also recently elected to the Florida Sheriff's Association Board of Directors, representing District 1, which covers the entire panhandle. It is 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have a small 20% chance of rain today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping are 77. Keeping our beautiful summertime pattern continuing into Thursday, 20% chance of rain, high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping are 77. Going into Friday, 20% chance of rain, high near 89. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 78 degrees with clear skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3.
Nicole Murray with your money now. SpaceX said its revenue nearly doubled during its first earnings report since going public, fueled by its booming Starlink satellite communications and its AI business. However, company executives flagged the spending spree on its AI build-out. SpaceX said it expects a $100 billion revenue run rate by December. Novo Nordisk's quarterly beat and guidance increase did little to resolve Wall Street's biggest concern: whether the Ozempic maker can continue to grow amid competition with Eli Lilly. The medical giant raised its full-year outlook. Analysts said the better-than-expected quarter benefited from rebate adjustments and other temporary factors. Asian technology stocks surged this morning after a strong Wall Street rally overnight that saw robust corporate earnings and easing oil prices push U.S. indexes to fresh records. Shares of SoftBank Group surged more than 10%, while chip equipment maker Tokyo Electron added roughly 3.6%. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, Great Southern Restaurant Week, Jackson's and Julia, Ferragosto at Angelina's, and Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's. All today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hi, this is DC Reeves. Together, we are moving Pensacola in the right direction. My priorities are building a healthy economy with good careers and keeping our community safe. I will always support our small businesses and back the blue. Let's keep working as a team to move Pensacola forward. I'm DC Reeves, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th.
DC Reeves is endorsed by Sheriff Chip Simmons and the Fraternal Order of Police. Paid for by DC Reeves for Mayor.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
Fire officials in Pensacola, Florida, were bracing for disaster today when the crew of a small plane called in a mid-flight emergency. Here's how it played out.
He's about a minute out for runway 17. He's not sure if he's going to make it. He might be landing on I-10.
A truck driver caught it all on video. The pilot with a flight student on board swooped under a roadside structure and safely landed on Interstate 10. Traffic was stopped until the plane was moved from the highway.
We're going to keep it high for now, but we do now have burning oil still in the cockpit. I don't know if we're going to make the airport. No, we are not making the airport. We're going down on I-10. Just want to let you know, we are lined up with I-10 trying to avoid the cars.
Air 62, you're safe. Air 62, I'm glad to hear that. We're sending everybody your way.
Yeah, thank goodness everybody turned out okay. That's the great news. If you haven't seen the video, oh my God. Goes under one of those like metal gantries that holds up the signs, which would not be your first choice if you're a pilot, because it's pretty close. I mean, that's like barnstorming kind of stuff. And I'm sure that she didn't have a choice, or it came up on her at the last minute, or, you know, it's kind of like I'm losing altitude real fast and speed. I got to save this plane somehow. I guess I'll go under, you know, so she did. It was crazy. But thank God everybody was okay. Joining us now in studio, we have our sheriff, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, and he was on the scene. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. What'd you see? What'd you learn yesterday? Pretty crazy incident, right?
Good morning, Andrew. Yeah, these are not some of the things that you learn in rookie school, right, in the police academy, how to kind of handle these things. When I first got the call, as you kind of heard, there was a possible plane crash on the interstate. I'm like, you know, unfortunately, we've had over the many years, we've had a couple of these in our area, and we're just thinking, man, how bad could this be?
Yeah.
And as we get closer, we realize it was a mercy landing. And again, they could be bad too.
Yeah.
The plane could topple. You know, there could be fires. And then you think about the cars that are on that roadway, not paying attention to what's behind them. And you've seen the video. You referenced it. That how fast the plane was coming, and how fast it was going down. Right.
Yeah.
What a good job.
Yeah.
That she did.
Training works.
She was the trainer and he was the student, and they switched controls, I would imagine. But yeah, it was a good good result of it.
Right.
And some pretty good piloting. And then we were able to just push the plane off the side of the road. And I guess someone came and picked it up somehow.
Yeah. That was actually a question somebody had asked me, and I did not have the answer. How did the plane get home? Because you can't just load a plane on a truck. It's too wide. You'd have to go through, it's a plane, like the plane is not there anymore, is it?
Well, now that I understand that the plane has been moved, but now we...
They can't, it's not like she could just, hey, hold on, close the interstate again for me.
Push me 3 miles down the road.
Well, the plane needs repairs, it can't just take off, but if they could take, it's not like they can just relaunch, you know, so that's a hard thing to solve.
They possibly could, I guess.
If it was working.
And I don't know if these wings would fold. It didn't appear as if it looks like I fixed a wing.
That's my suspicion too. I don't know anything about this model, and I've had 14 different accounts of what plane this was, so I'm just
Well, I mean, it seems like I'm an airplane expert. I'm not.
Two times in the last month you've had to weigh in on airplane matters.
Two low flybys is about enough for me in a month.
Well, I mean, I don't know why everybody's got all up in arms over this. Pete Hegseth said the Flyers will continue until morale improves, and this person just took it to heart, right?
Civilians and military.
Everybody's
alike.
In on this game.
Now, I will tell you that I spoke to a couple of the drivers that were they were on the roadway. In fact, the truck that got the video, I spoke to Eric, and he said, man, that thing came up on us, I mean, pretty quick. And because I joked about it, I said, you almost landed in the back of your truck.
Yeah.
It was a little joke of mine. And it was really close.
Yeah.
I mean, she missed the traffic, and then she went under that. You know, I knew the word gantry. I didn't know that's what they were called until now.
Yeah.
You know, this big metal. I used to call them the big metal thing that holds the sign. Gantry sounds better.
Sure, thanks.
So for all your listeners, you're all thinking,
structure.
I learned something now.
Okay,
look at that gantry over there.
My joke has been, now we got to check our sunroof for, you know, blind spots, right? you never know. But I do have a serious question. Did you give the pilot a ticket for exceeding the speed limit?
We were able to warn them.
Warning only?
Yeah. Okay. We didn't have our speedometers calibrated.
Well, law is the law. Law is the law, you know. Yeah. And
you're no prisoners, fair enough.
All right. Anyway, like you said, I mean, kudos. Kudos to the pilot for keeping her cool and landing safely and all that. So that's good.
And I do think that we should give a little bit of credit to the road traffic, you know, for understanding what's going on and not bumping.
There was not a single crash that I understand. That's amazing.
No one, you know, bumped into someone else by looking or veered off the road.
And the trucker slowed down because he said, I want people, and put his hazards on, I think, because
he did.
I want people behind me to realize something's happening in case you didn't miss the plane landing on the road.
Well, you know, people aren't always paying attention, right? And certainly they're not looking up, you know, as much. But, you know, we were able to get the one lane cleared, and then ultimately we pushed the plane to the side and got both lanes cleared. I will tell you this. I know people were backed up and traffic was backed up. But I can't imagine an emergency landing on an interstate getting cleared faster than that one.
Yeah, I mean, it was by the time I had seen the story, it was already clear.
Yeah.
Maybe like half hour, whatever, something like that. Because I was taking my nap.
We had about eight or so deputies that got there. We had about that same amount of Ohio patrolmen. So we had plenty of people there to look at the airplane.
You make me think of something I hadn't thought of before. But you know how this guy captured it on video? Mm-hmm. You got to believe that some of the people were in behind him, and it happened right over their head and in front of them, and they were like, had turned around at the moment or were looking down at their phone or something stupid, and they're like, I was there and didn't see it.
As a goodbye, how did I miss that?
Right. So their story to their friends is, I was there and I didn't even see it.
That's probably not their story. Like, no, yeah, I bet they zoomed right over hit my windshield wipers and
terrified me.
hit
my windshield wipers. We've had our fun. Let's have a little bit of serious stuff. We had a fifth arrest in the Oakwood Terrace shooting from April.
We arrested a 24-year-old Katrell Rice, Pensacola. As you mentioned, there was the fourth, fifth arrest.
Yeah.
We feel like there's about six people involved in this particular gun battle.
Is this the one we had the video of the girl handing the gun at the car and all that?
She was arrested for, that was it. And it happened on April the 12th. It was a double shooting. I think, fortunately, no one
died.
No one was killed in it. But we had some information on who these people were, but we had to kind of finalize the probable cause. And we've done so, and we've made an arrest. And I'll tell you now, it's not over yet.
Okay.
We may arrest another person.
We had a man found dead from shooting at the Quality Inn.
Yeah, we're still working that case. We got a description of a black male. I think wearing a green hat. I think if we haven't already put that was a grainy picture, but a surveillance type picture that we had. We're going to put that out. And we're asking if anyone has any information they can let us know. We have some leads. But we obviously, the more information that we get, the better.
Okay. We also had this is a pretty bad story involving what turned out to be, we think, an accidental shooting involving two older teens, like 19-year-olds. What was going on here?
Yeah, this one's still active. But right now it looks like it was an accidental shooting. So there were two, I say kids, but they were not juveniles.
Okay.
They were late teens, early 20s.
Okay.
And they were playing around with a handgun, and one person threw a handgun to the other person, and unfortunately, as the second individual caught it, the activated trigger mechanism, and the gun went off, striking the thrower.
Tossing a loaded handgun back and forth to each other.
That's what we're gathering.
Oh my God. Do we know anything about the gun, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter to me, but I can tell you it was just a type of a handgun.
Okay.
They were dancing to a song, I guess, and they one threw the weapon to the other, and as he caught it again, the gun went off, striking the tosser, the person that initially tossed it. We have no reason to believe that foul play is involved here.
Okay.
It's just terribly, terribly tragic.
No charges.
And the
reason I ask is because obviously no malice, no mens rea, no criminal intent, I assume no criminal background, no felon prohibition on the gun. But still, isn't there a negligent homicide? If you don't maintain control of your vehicle and kill somebody, you go to jail. If you don't maintain control of a deadly weapon and you act recklessly and irresponsibly with it, it seems like there's something, there's a crime there.
Well, that's why I started. It's still open. We are looking at that culpable negligence or should you have known that what you're doing was reckless and could cause harm. That's what we're looking at. But at this point, what I really want to point out is that there's no evidence of foul play to the extent that someone was trying to kill another individual.
Okay, so they were not done necessarily, but at this point, at least it wasn't intentional.
There's possibly criminal negligence. That's
got it. Okay, very good. I think those were sort of I thought there was one more. The jury duty scam, the one out of Santa Rosa County.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guy claiming to be the Santa Rosa County Clerk of Courts, right?
Yeah, we had an individual get a phone call, so someone claiming to be a clerk of the court for Santa Rosa County, claiming that an individual had missed jury duty, which has been kind of a widespread scam. They kept the individual on the phone for several hours, and not just one person. We believe it's more than one person. But they convinced the victim to go and get $105,000 from a banking institution and then meet him. Apparently, he drove an Uber to meet. The bad guy drove an Uber to meet this guy and took possession of the $105,000, and then the bad guy drove off. Well, our investigators, using some surveillance video from the Home Depot parking lot, using some license plate reader information that we were able to ascertain, ended up identifying the person that took possession of the money. We don't pretend to get everyone involved in it, because there's probably a number of people that are involved in this this scheme. But we certainly arrested the person that took possession of the money, and with the assistance of the FBI task force up in Atlanta. And so he should be here yesterday, today, and then he'll face those charges.
This stuff terrifies me for people who get older. Mm-hmm. Judgment shifts, capabilities shift, and suddenly they lose a lot of money because they're not quite as savvy anymore. And, of course, young people can too. But, you know, particularly I think of our elderly population being more vulnerable to this. And it's horrifying to think about.
And they're believable, right?
Yeah, they're really good at this. They're good at this. They're good liars.
They spoof numbers, so it looks like the number's coming from an official government phone.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know about this spoofing stuff, but apparently it comes up on your phone as a potential, you know, Santa Rosa County Clerk of the Court.
There are elements of officiality to it.
Yeah, and they know just enough information about you that's available on the internet, and so they're able to get away with it.
The Sheriff's Association has taken a stance along with, I think, fire, and I forget. There's several several first responder type law enforcement adjacent have taken a stance against the property tax amendment, right? The property tax referendum. You're a part of the Florida Sheriff's Association, obviously. Is it a signatory thing? Are you on this?
The Florida Sheriff's Association is not going to say vote yes or no for a specific item, but what they do like to do is educational type information. And so the initial statement that they put out, basically, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a little bit long. But it basically says potentially our fear would be potentially allows Tallahassee to control your local budgets. It's this chipping away at home rule is something that we feel very strongly about as sheriffs, that the taxpayers in the Escambia County should be able to say where the tax dollars that they're paying goes, in which budget, how much should go to the sheriff's office, how much should go to the fire department, how much should go to the ambulance service. I'm not a fan of property tax. I feel like the legislature should have done more, quite frankly. They should have eliminated all property tax and shifted that to some other
and created a framework so that some replacement revenue could be offered. Right.
So I'm not a fan of the erosion of home rule. Again, I do not think Tallahassee, I do not think a representative from Tampa or Manatee County knows better about where the tax dollars here in Escambia County should go. And I'm very concerned about that. However, I also want tax reform. I also pay taxes here in Escambia County. I own a home, and we pay property tax. I just wish that they would have done it with a complete elimination of property tax. Because if you make the statement that property tax is bad, then all property tax should be bad to me.
Right, and including the school portion, of course. Right.
I think it's a swing and a miss.
And as you say, we absolutely need to be able to control our money for first responders. And I have a lot of concerns about this particular one as well. Last thing is the Florida Sheriff's Association, selects their board members, board directors and all of that for District 1, which is our region. And who did they select this year?
Well, they convinced me to do that. Yeah, the Sheriff's Association.
It's quite an honor.
It is. It really is to represent the region. We have the association itself has a president, vice president, secretary, and treasury, but they also have a board of directors. Again, as you mentioned, there have representatives from.
I picture you more as a region. Secretary.
What? Secretary of War.
Go on.
No,
as you were.
No, I was. I'm honored to be a part and represent the Florida Panhandle in this, because we do the Sheriff's Association does a lot of advocacy for the sheriff's offices, whether it is statutes that we like that we want to push for, tougher sentences. And that sort of thing. But it's basically protecting the office of the sheriff and trying to protect the citizens of our various counties.
Seems like a combination of good honor and also more work for you in the legislative session.
Yeah, there's going to be some couple drives over there to Tallahassee. But yeah. I mean, I guess that's the fortunate part about being, first of all, you're 3 hours away.
You're not in Miami.
A good one, but mm-hmm. you don't have to drive 6 hours to get to Tallahassee. So there'll be a couple more trips.
Can you imagine being the sheriff from Key West? I don't know if they even have a sheriff in Key West. Probably
they do have a sheriff. They have a sheriff in all 67 counties, yes.
That's a long drive. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. And congratulations. It is an honor.
You bet. Y'all take care.
5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And if you need to capture anything on video or produce it, like for an ad for TikTok or, you know, YouTube or Instagram or television or Facebook, whatever, Pelican Drones, they can do that for you. Now, I know it's in their name, okay, that it's drones. But and obviously, if you need any kind of drone footage, like you want to fly through of a subdivision because you want to market that for folks, or you want to do a hurricane video of the outside of your property, you know, just in case, right? They can do that, of course. They do aerial footage for all kinds of things. That's in their DNA. But also ground-based footage or, you know, like teleconferencing. If you want to record a meeting, if you want to do a training video, if you want to do a walkthrough of your boat or your condo or your business or, I mean, really anything that's video-related and video production, they do that. They work with huge clients like Portofino and FDOT and Visit Alabama and Innisfree and FPL and HGTV. And they work with, you know, your friends and neighbors just doing whatever it is that they're wanting to sell, whether it's a boat or a condo or just wanting, like I said, a hurricane video for your own purposes. So find out what they can do for you. And then you own it all at the end, you know, weddings, meetings, whatever the case may be. PelicanDrones.com, PelicanDrones.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Join Vinnie Matassa and Helen Council from Connor O'Donovan Real Estate today at 10:30 on Pep Talk. Vinnie and Helen work with buyers, sellers, and investors. Learn about today's real estate market, get an inside look at the condo market, and hear about short-term rental information for investors on Pep Talk today at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
4 years ago, Kerry Smith made three promises. Roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Kerry steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Kerry alone championed impact fees, so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Kerry continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Kerry Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 8th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 14th in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark. You'll hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who've benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Gulfwinds Credit Union is matching donations up to $20,000. This year, help us raise funds for the Pediatric Sedation Suite.
Thank you.
Special thank you to our champion sponsors, including Florida Power and Light, and our hope sponsors, Stifel, Navy Federal Credit Union, Walmart, and Sam's Club. You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
you ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Mamma mia, that's a some speech.
You've got spicy meatballs, Jack.
Sorry.
Take 28.
Oh, somebody had texted me and we were talking about the interstate system earlier and kind of myths that people believe about the interstate system. And one of the things that he said is, you know, I had always been taught that the numbering system was even numbers east-west and odd numbers north-south. But then we have I-110, which is a north-south spur, to which I responded. And it's correct. It is, in fact, correct that east-west is even numbers and north-south is odd numbers. But then also the ordering of the numbers is the reverse of the U.S. highway system. Like on the West Coast, it's the 101 is the state road, the U.S. road, but then it's 5 interstate. So odd numbers run north and south, low numbers on the West Coast, high numbers on the East Coast, 95. Same for like 10 down here versus 90 for interstates. But then state or U.S. highways is the exact opposite. The answer on I-110 is because I-110 is not a road in and of itself. It's a spur off of the predominantly east-west 10. That's where it derives its basis.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio923.